Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're taking you to southwestern Turkey, to an ancient oak wood pasture in the Taurus Mountains.
These wood pastures are really fascinating. You know, they're this blend of nature and human interaction, and they've been shaped over centuries by traditional farming. Practices like goat grazing and pollarding.
We're exploring a 2019 research article from the Turkish Journal of Forestry. And it's looking at how birds use this unique habitat. I was hoping maybe you could walk us through some of what they found, like what factors influence the bird's choice of nesting site and what that all means for protecting these kinds of ecosystems.
Absolutely. To really understand the research, you first kind of need to picture the landscape.
Yeah.
So imagine like these rolling hills, and they're covered in these ancient gnarled oak trees. And some of them have these really distinctive multi-stemmed shapes.
Mm.
And that's because of that pollarding that I mentioned. It's where people cut back the trees to promote new growth.
I had to look that one up.
Yeah, it's not a word you hear every day.
So between these trees, you've got like shrubs and open grassland with goats wandering through it all.
Exactly. And, you know, even with all this human influence, the area is just teeming with life, especially birds.
The researchers actually like went out there at dawn and walked specific routes. They're called transects. And they carefully recorded every bird they saw or heard. They tracked 27 different bird species and even identified their territories. Like, it's impressive how much work goes into a study like this.
It's incredibly meticulous work, but it allows them to go beyond just, you know, like, species counts. They can categorize the birds by their nesting preferences. These categories are called nesting guilds. So you have like your high canopy nesters, low canopy nesters, ground nesters, and then you have your cavity nesters.
The article mentioned that they also analyzed 6 different habitat features.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, to see how those features correlated with the various nesting guilds. So they were looking at things like tree density, basal area, trunk diameter, and the presence of those tree cavities.
They essentially wanted to figure out what specific features were most important for attracting certain types of birds.
Yeah.
And they actually discovered some pretty unexpected things.
I was super surprised to see that they found greater density of forest was associated with higher bird species richness. You'd kind of think birds would prefer wide open habitats.
You really would. It challenges that common assumption. What's fascinating is that the researchers suggest that the heavy grazing from the goats actually creates this sort of mosaic of vegetation, different heights and densities. So even within a denser forest, there's a lot of structural diversity for the birds to use.
So it's kind of like the goats are these accidental landscape architects creating all these little pockets of habitat.
Huh. That's a great way to put it. And it's a perfect example of how human activities can have like unintended but positive consequences for biodiversity.
This finding really highlights the importance of studying each ecosystem kind of individually, you know, because what applies in one area might not in another.
100%. Context is everything. You can't just assume that one management approach will work everywhere, you know?
Right.
You have to take the unique conditions of each location into account.
Did they find any other, like, examples of how specific birds were using this habitat?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Take the Western Benelli's warbler, for example. It's a ground nesting species, so you would think it would prefer more open areas.
Makes sense. Somewhere easy to build a nest on the ground.
But in this wood pasture, they were actually more abundant in areas with shrubs.
Now, that is unexpected. Why would a ground nesting bird prefer shrubs?
Well, the researchers think those shrubs might provide cover from predators and, kind of ironically, from those grazing goats as well.
So the goats are like both creating habitat and threatening it at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a delicate balance.
It really is. And understanding that balance is so crucial for managing these wood pastures effectively.
Yeah.
You can't just assume we know what's best for all the species involved.
Yeah.
We really have to consider the full web of interactions.
Okay, so we've got this unexpected link between forest density and bird diversity. And we've got this example of the Western Benelli's warbler using shrubs for cover. What other interesting insights did they find?
Well, let's talk about the cavity nesting birds. So these are the species that rely on those tree cavities for nesting, like blue tits and great tits.
Right. Those cavities are essentially their prime real estate in the forest.
100%. Now, in a lot of conventionally managed forests, competition for these cavities can be really fierce.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where this study gets interesting. They found that the abundance of tree cavities in this wood pasture didn't seem to limit the population of what are called secondary cavity nesting birds.
So even though there were plenty of birds that needed those cavities, there were enough to go around. That's kind of the opposite of what we hear about cavity competition.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to the long history of pollarding in the region.
Okay.
Because the tree has been pollarded for centuries, they've kind of adapted, they create more cavities over time.
So instead of limiting the cavity nesters, human activity has actually created more opportunities for them. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And it really highlights the importance of understanding the history of these landscapes, especially when it comes to conservation and management. Mm. You can't just look at the present state of the ecosystem. You really have to consider how it got there.
It's like we're piecing together this puzzle, right? You've got the goats shaping the landscape, the pollarding creating those cavities, and all these different birds finding their own niche within this whole complex ecosystem.
Exactly. And by understanding how all those pieces fit together, we can start to make more informed decisions about how to manage these areas in a way that benefits both the biodiversity and the people who depend on them.
So why should our listener care about these birds and their oak habitat all the way on the other side of the world?
Well, because it's a story about interconnectedness, really. It's about the unexpected ways that our actions can ripple through the natural world. And ultimately, it's about understanding those complex relationships, especially if we truly want to protect biodiversity in a world that's constantly changing.
I love that. Even like seemingly small localized studies like this one can have these broader implications for how we think about conservation on a global scale.
Exactly. By learning about how birds and their habitats interact in this one wood pasture, we gain these really valuable insights that can be applied to other similar ecosystems around the world.
It's like a case study in how to manage these semi-open landscapes in a way that works for everyone, for biodiversity and human use.
Exactly. And this is really just the beginning of the story. The researchers themselves acknowledge that there's still so much more to learn about these complex interactions.
Which leads us to a pretty important question.
How do we balance the needs of both people and nature in these shared spaces? How do we find that sweet spot where both can thrive?
It's a complex question, and one that we're going to keep exploring as we dive deeper into this research.
And it's a question that becomes even more pressing when you consider that a lot of these wood pastures are facing growing pressure from land use changes.
Yeah, the article mentioned that some of these areas are being converted to coniferous plantations. What impact would that have on the birds?
Well, a coniferous plantation is basically a monoculture. It's like a single species of tree planted in these neat rows, which means it just totally lacks that structural diversity and variety of microhabitats we see in those ancient oakwood pastures.
It's like trading a vibrant, bustling city with diverse neighborhoods and shops for a sprawling suburb where all the houses look the same.
That's a perfect analogy. And just like in your analogy, losing that diversity would likely lead to a decline in the number of bird species. Those specialized birds that depend on, you know, those cavities or the shrub cover, they might disappear entirely.
That's a pretty sobering thought. Is there anything we can do to like prevent that kind of habitat loss?
That's where this research is so important. You know, by understanding what each species needs, what their habitat requirements are, we can start to develop much more targeted and effective conservation strategies.
So instead of just saying, you know, protect all the trees, we can get specific. We can say, protect these particular trees with large cavities because they're essential for those primary cavity nesters. Or make sure there's enough shrub cover in this area for the ground nesting warblers.
Exactly. It allows us to be much more nuanced in our approach to conservation. You know, an approach that considers the needs of the ecosystem, but also the local communities.
Which brings us back to that question of balance, right? How do we manage these wood pastures in a way that supports both human livelihoods and this incredible bird diversity?
It's a tough question.
Yeah.
But the research gives us some clues. For example, it suggests that maintaining those large trees is absolutely crucial for a lot of bird species.
So even if some logging happens, maybe those majestic old oaks with all those cavities, those could be left standing.
Exactly. And if we encourage a mix of vegetation, different heights and densities, we can create a landscape that supports a much wider range of birds.
Yeah.
From those ground nesters right up to those high canopy species.
And maybe those goats can keep playing their part as those, what do we call them, accidental landscape architects,
right?
Helping to maintain that mosaic.
It's all about finding ways to work with nature, you know, instead of against it.
That really resonates with me. It's like a more holistic approach, recognizing that humans are part of the ecosystem, not separate from it.
100%. And it's an approach that requires collaboration. You know, open communication between scientists, conservationists, the local communities, and policymakers.
Yeah, it reminds me that conservation isn't just about protecting pristine wilderness. It's also about finding ways for humans and nature to coexist sustainably, you know, in these landscapes that we share.
So well said. This research on the ancient oak wood pastures and their birds, it offers a really valuable model for how we can approach this challenge in other parts of the world.
It's like a glimpse into this larger conversation about the future of biodiversity and, you know, the choices we make about how we manage our planet.
And it's a conversation that's relevant to everyone, no matter where they live.
Speaking of relevance, it's probably time we bring this back to our listener. What are some of the key takeaways they can walk away with from this deep dive?
Well, I think the biggest one is this. Even landscapes that have been heavily shaped by humans, those can still be incredibly valuable for biodiversity.
I agree.
We shouldn't underestimate the importance of these culturally managed ecosystems.
Absolutely. It's not always about finding untouched wilderness. Sometimes it's about recognizing the richness and complexity of places that have co-evolved with humans. You know what I mean?
For sure. Secondly, this research highlights the power of understanding relationships, ecological relationships. Yeah. By studying how different species interact with their environment, we could start to develop much more effective conservation strategies.
It's like having a roadmap instead of just wandering around in the dark.
Exactly. And finally, I think this whole story reminds us that conservation is dynamic. It's not about finding the perfect solution and then sticking to it forever.
Right.
It's about adapting, you know, to changing conditions, learning from past mistakes, and always seeking to improve our understanding of the natural world.
I like that. It's a message of hope, continuous learning, and collaboration.
Yeah.
Speaking of learning, is there like one final thought-provoking question our listener can consider as they go about their day?
How about this? How can we apply what we've learned from these ancient oak wood pastures to managing other semi-open ecosystems around the world?
That's a great question. Because even though the specifics might differ, the underlying principles of balance, adaptation, and understanding relationships, those are universal.
And as we face these big challenges like climate change and biodiversity loss, those principles become more important than ever.
So as you walk through a park or a forest, or even just your own backyard, just take a moment to appreciate that intricate web of life all around you.
And consider how your actions, big or small, can contribute to a more sustainable future for everyone.
It's crazy. When I started reading this research, I just thought it would be the simple story about birds and trees. But the more we've talked about it, the deeper we've gone, it's clearly so much more.
It really has become a microcosm of this, you know, bigger picture, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've talked about cultural traditions and economic pressures and land use changes and ultimately, you know, the choices we make about our relationship with nature.
And those choices, it seems, they're not always simple. Mm. Like, there are often compromises that have to be made and trade-offs to consider.
You know, that's inherent in any landscape where both people and nature are trying to share the space. The article actually specifically mentioned this challenge, you know, of maintaining both biodiversity and human use in these wood pastures. Like if we just prioritize timber production, we'll probably see a decline in bird diversity. But if we only focus on conservation, then that impacts the livelihoods of people who rely on these areas for grazing or fuel wood.
It's like this constant balancing act, isn't it? How do you ensure people's needs are met without like compromising the health of the ecosystems that everyone depends on?
It really is. It's a global challenge.
Hmm.
And it requires, I think, long-term thinking to consider the consequences of our actions, not just for us, but for future generations.
It seems like finding some creative solutions is key. Like, what are some things that come to mind?
Well, you know, we could explore ways to add value to those large old trees that are so important for the birds. Maybe there could be like economic incentives for landowners to keep those trees standing, even if they're not harvesting timber from them.
Oh, that's interesting. Could we also find ways to like integrate livestock grazing so that it actually enhances the habitat diversity? You know, like those goats, they were a key part of creating that mosaic landscape.
Exactly. It's not about getting rid of human activities. It's about making them more compatible with the needs of, you know, other species. And that's why research is so important. The more we know about these ecosystems and how they work, the better we can make decisions about how to manage them.
So as our listener kind of absorbs all this, what's that one final takeaway you want to leave them with?
I would say never underestimate the power of curiosity. You know, this whole deep dive, it all started with just a single research article about birds in a Turkish wood pasture.
And look where we've ended up. talking about global biodiversity, sustainable development, and the amazing ways that all living things are connected.
Curiosity sparks understanding. And understanding is what helps us create positive change.
So keep asking those questions, keep exploring, and always be on the lookout for those aha moments, the ones that connect you to the world around you.
In a world facing so many challenges, I think that spirit of inquiry is what will guide us toward a more sustainable and harmonious future.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder those big questions. Until next time, keep diving deep, and thanks for joining us on this journey of discovery.